Hey, I'm Russell Leeds, and welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. On this week's show, Labour have said they're going to raise taxes by £40 billion. Obviously, this is going to affect a lot of people in the UK, but how is it going to specifically affect you and all other property investors and entrepreneurs? So let's break down the changes. Number one, how it's going to affect you. Number two, what you can do about it. Now, a lot of it is actually staying the same. I was actually quite relieved in a way when I watched the budget, because I was kind of expecting it to be a lot worse, especially for property investors. There was a lot of talk about all sorts of crazy changes that were coming. And while there are some bad changes, it's not too bad. And if you know what you're doing, you can actually work your way around most of these changes. So you're actually going to be okay. So that's the first thing I would say. So let's have a look at some of the things that are staying the same. First of all, corporation tax is staying at 25%. This was something that I was a little bit worried about. I thought they might rocket this up. Now remember, only not too long ago, it was only 19%. It raised to 25% to cover all the lost money from COVID that the government lost with bounce back loans and, you know, C bills and all this sorts of stuff. So they raised it to 25%. So that's staying as is. I'm quite relieved about that, because we do have one of the lowest corporation taxes, and that would have hit a lot of landlords and people that own, or any businesses that own them in companies, that would have hit them quite hard. So that's good news. Income tax and your personal national insurance contributions, that is all staying exactly the same as well. So that's all good news. Inheritance tax is also pretty much staying the same as well. So this means the first £325,000 of any estate can be inherited tax-free. And if you own a residential property and you're passing that residence to your direct descendants, that can actually be increased to, I believe it's £500,000. Again, all tax-free. All this is staying the same. The only change they made that I noticed to inheritance tax, and this probably won't affect most of you, but it might if you own lots of land. Agricultural land was pretty much, you know, tax-free way of passing on assets to your children. If you own a load of farmland, you could pass it on and it didn't get hit with inheritance tax. Now that is changing. Now only the first £1 million worth of agricultural land can get passed down. After that, there will be inheritance tax, but it is at a reduced rate of just 20%. Okay, so this probably won't affect you, but if you are buying up a lot of farmland, like Bill Gates is in America, Bill Gates buying up loads and loads of farmland, if you're doing that, maybe that gravy train has kind of come to an end. Okay, so all this stuff's not too bad. A lot of it's staying the same. Some of it's big stuff as well. And while we're on income tax, minimum wage is also going up. So it's £11.44 at the moment, and this is for over 21s, and that is going up to £12.21. So a nice little jump there in minimum wage. So far, so good, not too bad. So I suppose the question is, where are they going to get that £40 billion from? Because someone's going to pay for it. It's not going to come out of thin air. So where are they going to get it from? Well, a big chunk of it, £25 billion of it, is going to come from the employer's national insurance contribution. So when you've got a member of staff, you have to pay national insurance contributions for those staff. At the moment, it's 13.8%. And you pay it after, so the first 9,100, you don't pay any on. Anything after that, you pay 13.8% in national insurance, in employers' national insurance contributions. That is raising from 13.8% to 15%. So it's only going up 1.2%. Doesn't sound too bad. However, the threshold of the 9,100 is dropping to £5,000. So if you've got an average employee, say on 40 grand, it's going to cost you about £1,000 more in national insurance contributions, which is quite a chunk. It's quite a chunk. For us, it's probably going to cost us about 40 or 50 grand a year, okay, in extra tax. So it's a bit of a pain, okay? It's not horrendous. It's not like we're Tesco, I feel very sorry for companies like Tesco. Tesco have got like 300,000 members of staff. It's going to cost Tesco like 75 million. Can you imagine waking up to the news? Oh, great. That's a £75 million a year extra, not in tax, extra tax, just off this one little change. It's humongous. But for most of you, it's not too bad if you don't have many staff, or indeed if you don't have any staff, in which case it's not going to affect you at all. See, at the moment, employers can claim £5,000 back off their national insurance bill. So if you've only got a couple of members of staff, basically you don't have to pay it because you can claim the £5,000 back. That's actually increasing to 10.5 grand. So if you've only got a few employees, even though the rate per employee has gone up, because you've now got 10.5 grand you can claim back, you could actually have up to 4 employees if they're on minimum wage without having to pay any tax, national insurance tax on them at all, okay? So while this is kind of bad news for bigger companies, if you're a smaller company with just a few members of staff, like probably most of you are, if you've just got like a PA or something, this is actually not bad news either. So far, we're 25 billion in to the 40 billion. So far, so good. Okay, next, we're going to be talking about capital gains tax. Now, this was one that we were all worried about. There was all sorts of scary talk about raising capital gains tax to silly rates. So what is capital gains tax? It's the tax that you pay when you sell an asset and make profit on it. So it could be a property, it could be stocks and shares, any asset that you sell and make a profit, that profit, you get charged capital gains tax. If you own it in your personal name, if you own it in a company, it would go as company profits, you pay corporation tax and any other taxes that you'd have to pay. And there was big talk of capital gains tax being significantly raised, and it has. So the lower rate of capital gains tax, people that are on a lower rate taxpayer, it's gone from 10% to 18%. And for higher rate taxpayers, capital gains tax has gone from 20% to 24%. However, for residential property, it was already at those levels. It was already at 18%, 24%. So actually what they've done is they've taken like the capital gains you get from shares and all that sort of stuff, and they've just brought it all level. So if you own properties and you're selling them, it makes no difference. I was quite surprised at this, is because I was thought they'd really hit landlords here, and they actually haven't at all. For landlords, it hasn't affected it at all. It's still not good news, because if you're selling other stuff that you're making a profit, you're paying more tax. But I was pleasantly surprised that landlords and property investors aren't going to be hit with capital gains tax hikes. So far, you're probably thinking, well, this isn't bad at all. I'm not getting hit at all. Yeah, that was until they brought up stamp duty. Now, for those of you that don't know what stamp duty is or where it came from, it actually, interesting history, stamp duty was brought in 1690-something in England. We were in a war at the time, and the government said, you know what, we're in this war, we need to raise some extra funds, you know, to help us through the war. So we're going to bring in a temporary tax. It's not going to be around for long. It's just a temporary tax just while we get through the war. And they did. And it was called stamp duty. And it's now like 330 years later. And this temporary tax mysteriously is still here. And we're still paying it. And not only are we still paying it, it's still rising. I think stamp duty is already a bit of a joke, how expensive it is, okay? Especially for people that are buying second homes, such as landlords or investment properties. So currently, before the budget, before last week, previously, it was 3% for the first 250 grand you had to pay. That is rising from 3% to 5%, okay? So that's like almost doubling, right? It's like really high on that first, but it's like massively, I don't know what percentage that would be, 3 to 5, it's a big jump anyway. It's a massive jump. So that is a bit of a blow for any property investor out there, because this affects any property, other than like your personal property, any property you buy, you're going to be hit with this. Let's just go through the numbers. So, for example, if you bought a £300,000 property right now, you'd pay 5% on the first 250 grand. And then the next two, between 250 and 925, it's 10%. Okay, from between 925 to 1.5 million, it's 15%, and above 1.5 million, it's 17%. So it gets really, really high. So on that £300,000 property, right now, you would pay £17,500, which is £6,000 more than you would this time last week. Okay, so it's a crazy jump. I also thought it was a bit of a joke the way they just introduced it and said, as of tomorrow. Can you imagine if you were in the process of buying a property that was completing next week and suddenly that's a £300,000 property, £6,000 extra you've got to pay. And obviously the higher we go, the more out of the blue you've got to find this amount. I just think it's absolutely nuts that you brought it in the next day. It's a bit of a joke, personally, I think. This is a massive rise. So what can you actually do about this? How can you avoid stamp duty? Because actually, while it is bad news for any normal buy-to-let investor, if you know what you're doing and if you're smart about how you invest in property, you can actually avoid this charge pretty much completely, and it won't actually affect you at all. So how can you actually do that? Well, let me tell you a story. Tony Blair, the former UK Prime Minister, it's very well documented, but he bought his personal home in Marylebone in London. It was a very beautiful, very nice house that he bought for £8.8 million. Well, I say he bought the house. He actually didn't buy the house. See, what he did instead was the house was owned by an offshore company. And rather than buying the house, Tony Blair bought the company. And when you buy the company, of course, the company owns the house. So you now indirectly own the house, but you don't pay the same stamp duty. Now, this was obviously before these big rises, but he actually legally saved £312,000 because he bought the company, not the house. He still owned the house, he still had the house, but it was all bought through a company. I've actually personally done this myself. Now, you still do pay stamp duty, but it's just at a much lower rate of 0.5%. So it saves you an absolute fortune. I'd highly recommend when you're looking at properties, if you especially invest in property, speak to the landlord. Do you own this property in a company? And maybe consider buying the company. There are some things to take into consideration. So obviously you need the company to only own the one property, okay? Also, you need to make sure that there aren't any outstanding loans or any debts on the company or any problems with the company where people might come after you for money. But mostly people have set it up deliberately like this. You've probably heard it, an SPV, a special purpose vehicle. You just get a company set up specifically to buy a property. And each company that you have owns specific properties. Now, I've got a feeling that this will start happening a lot more where people are buying companies now that we're seeing these rates rise up. So that's the first way that you can avoid stamp duty. The next way, and this is probably my favorite way, is to buy non-residential property. Now, I'm going to explain to you what non-residential property means in a moment, because it doesn't just mean property that you can't live in, okay? Although, of course, it does include commercial property. Now, let's have a look at the rates of this first. So if you buy a non-residential property, the first 150 grand, right, rather than being 5%, the first 150 grand is zero. You're not paying any stamp duty on the first 150 grand. Amazing. The next 100 grand, so from 150 to 250, is 2%. And the remaining amount after that, there's not like silly amounts like, oh, after the first million, it's 17%, right? So anything after the first 250 grand is 5%. So if you're buying commercial property or non-residential property, the stamp duty difference is massive. Let me give you an example, right? If you bought a £300,000 property, remember before we looked at the residential property, £300,000 was 17 and a half grand, right? You buy a commercial or a non-residential property at 300 grand, rather than 17 and a half, it's 4.5 grand. So significant savings straight away. So what actually classes as non-residential? Well, I mentioned it already. First of all, commercial, right? So if you're buying shops, etc., and this is actually a brilliant strategy right now, is to do conversions from commercial to residential. When commercial properties are valued, they are valued not by their bricks and mortar, but they're valued by how much they rent out for. They're valued by their rents. Basically, the higher the rents and the better the tenant that you've got, the more valuable that property will be. Now, here's the thing. Right now, commercial properties, especially office blocks and certain type of commercial properties, are seriously getting damn valued because they're empty. If you go through the high streets, what do you see? Empty shop, empty shop, empty shop. When stuff is empty, what happens to the rents? Does it go up or does it go down? Well, of course, it goes down, supply and demand. So when the rents drop, the values drop. So then what you can do is you can buy these commercial properties, you can convert them into residential properties. And by the way, right now, you can do it without even getting planning permission. You can convert office blocks, properties that are classified as E, you can convert to residential properties using permitted development called Class MA, okay? So if you can find these properties that are getting downvalued already, you can pay less stamp duty, you can convert them to residential, what a fantastic strategy that is, okay? So that's the first. Next thing you can do is you can buy mixed use. So you can buy a shop with some flats above. That counts as commercial, right? So you pay the lower rates of stamp duty. So these could be some strategies that you're looking at straight away. So I love those strategies. All these places that are closing down, it's a brilliant way to make money and also improve the area. Because the last thing that you want, you've seen all the banks that are closing down at the moment. The last thing that you want is to drive down your high street and see all these closed down banks. So we're making use of them, we're converting them, we're improving the area, we're improving the economy. We're actually, it's not like, oh, you're taking advantage of a situation. No, the bank's already closed down. The bank is gone, right? It's just sitting there as an eyesore. We're turning it into something good. So it's a brilliant way that you can make use of commercial property right now and pay less stamp duty, which is great. However, my favorite way is by getting properties that are residential properties, but they are unmortgageable because people can't live in the properties. And you might not be able to live in the properties for several reasons. For example, it could have severe structural problems. So if a property, you found a property, it's got severe structural problems. Not only does that mean that it's a problem that you can solve, if you're doing the buy, refurbish, refinance strategy, you're looking for these sort of properties anyway, properties that have got real issues with them, but you've got a property with severe structural problems, you can solve the problem, but because it's now uninhabitable, you can't live in it, you can pay much less stamp duty. So you're winning twice. You're finding a property that you can add value to, but at the same time, you're paying massively less stamp duty. Now, £300,000 example, you're talking like 13 grand you're saving there, right? That's 13 grand towards fixing the problem. But it's 13 grand from the government, not from the seller. The seller will, you'll get be able to get money off the seller anyway because it's got structural problems, right? So that's the first problem. Structural issues, that's the first thing you can look for. Next is a lack of basic amenities, right? For example, if it doesn't have a kitchen or doesn't have bathrooms, it's unlivable. You can't live in a property that doesn't have a kitchen. So if you're finding a grotty old property and the kitchen, they've ripped the kitchen out and it's not there, happy days. That is now non-livable. Hey, guess what? You pay less stamp duty. Also, significant health hazards, such as if there's asbestos or if there's mold or even like pests. I was talking to someone who was buying a property, quite an expensive property actually. It was, I think it was around about £1 million. And it's in an area in Buckinghamshire where they have a problem with glis-glis, which is a type of squirrel. And the glis-glis get into the house. Right, and you need to fix it. You need to fix this big problem. Now, not only because the glis-glis are getting into the house, does it mean that the property is worth less because the landlord is going to struggle to sell it because who wants to buy a property with squirrels in the loft? But also, it's unmortgageable because that no one wants to mortgage them that's got glis-glis in it. It's a pest. It's a problem. So what does that mean? That means you pay less stamp duty. So again, these are problem properties. I'm not saying it's necessarily a good thing. So, oh, great. I've got to go and buy a property that's got no kitchen. It's falling down and it's got glis-glis in the attic. But if you can solve these problems, you're going to solve them anyway. You're going to add value to the house. You're going to fix the issue. It's a BRR. We're entrepreneurs, property entrepreneurs. We're looking for problems that we can solve. You're also benefiting from paying massively less stamp duty. This would also apply for things like fire or flood damage, or you know those properties where you look at them and the windows are all boarded up. It's like, that is not livable. That's not a livable property. So you're going to do it up anyway. bang, you're going to pay less stamp duty in the process. And the final way that you can do it is by buying multiple properties at once. Now, there was something called multiple dwelling relief, where if you bought more than three properties, you significantly saved on your stamp duty. Now, that has unfortunately gone. However, in its place is if you buy six properties or more, it counts as a commercial transaction. So if you're buying, for example, a block of flats with a six properties or more, you get commercial rates. That will save you an absolute fortune. Or if you're buying a property portfolio from a landlord and you're buying bang in one go, again, you get commercial property rates, non-domestic property rates. So you can do that as well, which is great. Now, here's the thing. While the stamp duty is an issue, especially for just typical buy-to-let landlords, I think buy-to-let's struggling right now anyway, right? Because interest rates are still high. Just buying a property, renting it out, it's very difficult to make money doing that. But if you're a property entrepreneur, if you're a property investor that knows what you're doing, if you're getting good rental strategies, if you're doing the BRR strategy, which is brilliant, right? You should definitely look more into the BRR strategy, how you can buy a property, renovate it, refinance it, pull out all your money and do it again. You can rinse and repeat. You can definitely make a lot of money in this game. And if you're interested in learning how to do that, I'd highly recommend getting down to the Property Investors Crash Course. You get to spend one day. You can either do it in person or you can do it virtually if you don't want to travel. But we travel all across the country and we're teaching you in a day exactly how to do this sort of thing, how to find these properties, how to buy them, how to negotiate them, and how to get started as a property investor. I'd highly recommend checking out the Property Investors Crash Course. I will leave a link below. I hope to see you there. I'd love to know what you guys think of the budget as well. I mean, it wasn't as bad. It's not great news. You know, taxes have gone up, right? So it's not amazing. But considering what was said, considering how, you know, they were coming out ahead of time, Rachel Reeves and Starmer, and saying, oh, it's going to be painful. It's going to affect, it's not going to affect the working man. But by the way, landlords, you don't count as working men. So brace yourselves. All this that was coming out ahead of time, I don't think it's actually too bad. Stamp duty is the only one. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But like I said, if you're a serious property investor and you know your way around it, there's things that you can do to mitigate that problem anyway. So I don't think that is a deal breaker. We got away with the capital gains tax. There were other little things in there as well. You know, things like, we're going to target private jet owners, okay? Probably won't affect most of you. There are a few little things in like that. Oh, the beer, draft beer is a penny cheaper now. Everyone was cheering about it. It's like, guys, come on now. You're saving a penny off a beer. I mean, you'd have to be literally like, if you drank every single day, if you bought a pint from the pub every single day, that would save you £3.65 over a year. Come on now, calm down. So there was a few little things like that. But yeah, overall, I didn't think it was too bad. I'd love to know your thoughts. Please do comment below. If you've got any tips and tricks on how you have managed to get out of stamp duty or any stories about how you've managed to save stamp duty, because I think that's the big one, please do comment that as well. And I will see you next week.